May the Lord help us to commence our worship today with hymn number 494, 494. On yonder glorious height, King Jesus does appear upon the judgment seat with millions at his bar. Behold, the awful judge is come to fix their everlasting doom. Hymn 494.
Thank you. from God's word, we will read three passages of scripture. First of all, Psalm 32. Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee. And mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as a horse or as a mule, which hath no understanding, whose mouth must be held with bitten in with bitten bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. We now turn to the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, the second chapter. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and have raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember, ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. For to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Finally, we turn to the book of the Revelation, chapter 6, from reading from verse 12. Revelation 6, from verse 12. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Kind and gracious Lord God, help us now to draw near in prayer to thy throne. Teach us what to ask for, and then give us the faith to look for answers. We come before thee with thanksgiving for thy kindness and mercy towards us each in bringing us again to the beginning of a new week, to the first day of the week, again to thy day, again favoured to meet around thy word in thy house. Help us, Lord, to enter into thy courts with thanksgiving and into thy gates with praise, and to give thanks unto thee for thy mercies to us each in the week past and in the week which has already now begun. Help us, Lord, to give thanks unto thee more for the blood of Jesus Christ, God's dear Son, that way by which sinful man may find peace with God, may find a free, full, and eternal pardon, may find deliverance from hell. Lord, may each of us be found trusting, building, resting our hope for heaven on Christ and on him alone. But help us, Lord, this day to rejoice and be thankful that there is a Saviour, that there is a way of salvation. And Lord, may there be many here this day who can raise the deepest notes of thanksgiving of all and say, he's my Saviour. He's my friend. He's my Jesus. He's my all. Bless thy word unto us. Make it, Lord, the message of life, and the bread and the water of life to our souls. Make us hungry and thirsty for thy word, For hunger and thirst is a sign of life. The lack of it is a sign of sickness and death. Lord, gather us as hungry sinners needing food and water spiritually this day. Speak unto us. Give unto us the food of thy holy word, the drink of thy holy word. And may we live upon Christ. May our faith this day be strengthened. May we end the day with stronger faith than we began it. And where, Lord, there is no faith, now, could it please thee for faith to be given before the sun sets this day? Bless, O Lord, this people. We pray for them. We thank thee, Lord, for the gift of a child this week. We pray for that one and for the family and for the parents, that they may be given that grace to bring them up in thy fear. We thank thee for a life given and a life spared. We pray in time that child may prove to be a child of God and made a blessing and a pillar in thy house in time to come. And we pray, Lord, for each one gathered here this day and those gathered from other causes of truth. Bless each soul before thee. Each, Lord, has their own various different needs and burdens in life. Each have their own cares. Each has their own sorrows and burdens and difficulties and trials. Grant thy guidance and direction in each pathway of life. Provide for each one. Open doors in life for each. Prosper their way, we pray. Remember those who are elderly in the evening time of life. Prepare them, Lord, for the end of life. And for eternity which follows death. May it be their great concern to be made ready for that day, when life shall end on earth and eternity will begin. And where, Lord, shall we stand in that day? Remember those in the midst of life. With its busy scenes and cares and burdens and needs. Grant help in business concerns. In work. Those who face and have to deal with the world as it is in all its hostility to thee and to thine. Help them, Lord, to set a right example. Help them to walk worthy of thee in the world. May others know they've been with Jesus, and by their example seek him for themselves. But do grant thy help, Lord, in business concerns that no doubt many here have. And do guide them and direct them aright in them. Be with those who have family concerns. Help parents bringing children up. Help them to cast that burden upon thee May, Lord, they live to see their prayers answered for their children. Give them all needed wisdom and grace. Remember, Lord, those too who do not have children. Lord, they too need thee. They too need thy help in a different way. May they also be enabled to cast their burdens and cares upon thee and prove that thou dost care for them and dost not forget them. Remember those who have bodily concerns, who have to deal with pain and weakness and frailty. Remember those who are lonely and sad, who mourn the loss of loved ones. Remember those in the dawning and in the morning of life, with it all before them. Lord, help them in the morning time of life to seek the Lord and to find him. May, Lord, they be raised up as pillars here and in other causes of truth, who will strengthen thy house, who will be made a blessing to thy people. Help them, Lord, in their school days, in their university and college days. Help them, Lord, as they venture out into work. Help them, Lord, in their relationships. Supply their every need. Bless the Sunday school. And Lord, may there be signs following that thou dost work in the Sunday school here, that the seed sown is in thy time shown as a good harvest. Bless, Lord, the preaching of thy word here. Help thy servants as they preach here. May, thou, Lord, there be a living ministry here. Grant, Lord, there may be anointed preaching. Grant, Lord, there may be anointed hearing. May resurrection power be felt in the pulpit and in the pews too. May sinners be called by grace, brought to a knowledge of sin, brought to seek for salvation. And then, Lord, may seekers be finders of thee. May, Lord, the lambs and the sheep be fed and watered by thy almighty hand through the preaching of thy word here. Bless this church. Watch over, be with them and help them. Let not Satan get in and sow division or discord. May there be unity and love among the brethren. May there be humility of spirit and mind. Help them, Lord, in their church meetings. Give them the mind of Christ. Help them, Lord, as they meet around thy table month by month to remember thy dying love. And Lord, as we meet this evening, remember us as we seek to remember thee in that sacred ordinance. And do gather in others to this church whom thou hast saved. Gather in others to this congregation whom thou wilt save, and feed and use here. And bless each member of this congregation. Bless the deacons and help them in their office that thou hast called them to. Give them grace and wisdom and help them to continue and to go on. And bless, Lord, thy church as it meets this day up and down our land and throughout the world. Bless thy gospel as it is preached. Remember, Lord, our rulers. We think especially today of our king as he was crowned yesterday. We ask thee, Lord, to be with him. Give him, Lord, the wisdom he needs naturally to govern this nation aright. Give him spiritual wisdom, that he may seek after thee, the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And bring him to know, Lord, that thou art the King of kings, the Lord of lords. Bring him, Lord, as we have sung, as he considers his own coronation and crowning, to consider there is one who sits on a higher throne, on whose head is many crowns, and one who will one day come in glory, as we've been singing, with power and authority from heaven, to whom he and we must then stand before. So, Lord, we pray that thou wouldst call him by grace, and other members of the royal family also, and of the government. Open the eyes of our Prime Minister, and grant that there may yet be better days in this land, returning to thy laws, to thy ways. May, Lord, there be better days in the churches. May there be more life spiritually. May there be a greater hunger and thirst after righteousness. May there be a closer walk with God. And then, Lord, may there be a revival in this nation, an awakening and a turning to thee. And let, Lord, it start with us even today. Help us now as we come to thy word. Bless it to us. We ask every mercy, pleading the blood of Jesus Christ. And we ask in his name alone. Amen.
Hymn number 666, 666. With great and awful power, Jesus the Judge shall come to bid his foes depart and take his children home. How will the wicked quake at fear when they before him must appear. Hymn 666.
Seeking the Lord's help, we turn to the 32nd Psalm and the 10th verse. Psalm 32, verse 10, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. We have here in our text warning and comfort. We have here the two sides of how the Lord deals with all mankind. Which side are you? Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, we have in our text here two shells, sorrows and mercy. And they are God's shells. In other words, they will happen. It's an absolute certainty. It will not be avoided. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked. First of all, then, let us define who the wicked are. What does it mean? Of course, if you were to ask those who never come to God's house who the wicked were, they would send you to the prisons and tell those who had committed murder or violence or theft. They're the wicked. Else they wouldn't be in prison. So far, they're right. But they are not only the wicked. We have here in our text one definition of the wicked. I wonder if you've noticed it. How does our text follow this word wicked? But he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Therefore, the inference is that the wicked are those who do not trust in the Lord. And that is something that all the wicked have in common. Not all the wicked are murderers. Not all the wicked end up in prison. Many of them are good, upright citizens in their own way, insofar as the law of this land is concerned. But they are strangers to Jesus Christ. I'm going to say something that may shock some of you now, but I'm going to say it anyway. Do you know that some of the wicked even attend the Lord's house every week? I'm going to bring it closer to you. Some of the wicked even attend this house of prayer week by week. You say, how can that be? Because if you are a stranger to Jesus Christ, whoever you are, if you've never trusted in Christ for salvation, if you've never sought his mercy, you are among the wicked. Or, to put it another way, coming to the house of God week by week does not put us among the righteous. Although it is, of course, the right thing to do, it is right that we should come to the Lord's house. It is right we should attend to the things of God. And all mankind, without exception, should do so. And it is a great wickedness not to do so. But that in and of itself does not make you righteous in God's sight. The wicked, therefore, are those who, when it comes down to it, trust in themselves for salvation. And if you're trusting in yourself for salvation, that is a wicked thing. Why, you say? Because God says so, that's why. Because in trusting in yourself, you are despising and holding in contempt and treading underfoot God's revealed way of salvation. Because in effect, you are saying either that your own works are good enough, or that Christ's work was not good enough. And in God's eyes, that is great wickedness. In God's eyes, that is deeply offensive. Now our text here says, in the beginning, many sorrows shall be to the wicked. That doesn't mean that the righteous don't have sorrows on earth. They do. All mankind, without exception, knows what it is to walk through sorrow one way or another. But they are different in one way to the sorrows of the first Bardha text. Why? Because they don't walk in them alone. Because in the sorrows of this life, God walks in it with them. When thou passest through the waters, he says, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Some of you have known what it is to be upheld in those waters and in those fires, have you not? You've known for God to support you in them. You felt him with you. You felt him near you. And you felt you wouldn't have come through them had he not been with you. You've known him to bless you and your soul in those deep trials. It's done you good. You've known what it is to have fellowship with Christ in his sufferings in them. It's brought you nearer to God. Sorrows of the righteous are different to the sorrows of the world, in the sense that God sustains, supports, and helps. The wicked, they too walk in sorrow. Perhaps the same sorrows as the righteous do, in the same outward sense. But they don't know God's hand supporting them or sustaining them. They don't know what it is in them to be taught of God or to be brought nearer to God. God does not know their souls in adversities like he does with the righteous. And they come out from their sorrows just as they entered into them, far off from God. And sometimes even further off from God than they were when they entered into them. They don't seek God in their troubles. They do not hear the voice that trouble brings. It doesn't make them flee to God for mercy for their souls. They walk in what the word of God says somewhere, the sorrow of the world worketh death. But then, that is not all. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked. What about after death? What about the day of judgment of which you have been singing in your two hymns? You know, we have seen the coronation yesterday of the king. We have seen those bow before him and declare their allegiance to him. But you know, there's coming a day when there will be another coronation. When Jesus returns on the day of judgment and sits, as we are told in Matthew, on the throne of his glory. In that day, all of creation will bow before him and will declare allegiance to him. Whether in mercy and in joy and in love, or in sorrow and despair. But without exception, all creation will in that day have to declare and acknowledge Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Are you ready for that day? How will your allegiance be declared? Because if you're among the righteous, you'll be made by grace to declare and to know allegiance to him here, this side of the grave. And you'll be brought to trust him, as our text says. You'll be brought to acknowledge him as king. And you'll be brought to obey him. First of all, because he is king, and you're brought to know he has a right to rule over you. But also because you'll be brought to love and to trust that rule, and to delight in it, and to love to walk in it, and to delight and to feel privileged to obey his law. That's what grace does. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked. Psalm 73 tells us of the end of the wicked. How are they brought into desolation, as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. And we read in Revelation that seal which was opened. And those who suddenly found they were lost. Unprepared, unready to stand before that throne, and of how they fled. Notice they fled away from the only refuge that there is for sinners. Even in that moment and in that day, they do not trust in the Lord. Even then they seek for a hiding place anywhere but the Lord. And that is what the wicked do. They seek for pardon for their souls anywhere but where it can be found. Where are you seeking pardon? What is the foundation of your hope for heaven? What would be your plea? If you stood before the throne of God and you were asked what the foundation of your hope was, what would be your answer? I'm going to pause for a moment. Don't expect you to answer me audibly. But just think for a moment. What would your answer be? What would your plea be? Would it be that I came to the house of God every week without fail? Would it be that I read the Word of God every day? Would it be that I listened carefully to the sermons? Would it be but I didn't commit adultery or murder or get drunk or swear or go with the wicked to places they went to? Friends, if that was your answer, you are among the wicked. If that's your hope, if deep, deep down, your hope is in what you have done or in what you have not done, you are as yet unready to meet with God. But you must meet him one day. And if in that day you are still unready, our text declares you will know many sorrows. For the wicked, the moment after death, and ever afterwards, they know nothing but sorrow. And remember, friends, eternity is for a very long time. If you consider, we consider this life to be long, do we not? But you know, in the context of eternity, it is only the first letter of a book which will never end. The overwhelming vast majority of our existence will be spent either in heaven or in hell. And that should put into context our joys and our sorrows here. They're fleeting. It also should make us consider our ways. Because the consequences of being wrong are immeasurable. And those who are wrong in that day, those who are declared and found by God to be the wicked in that day, from the moment of their death onwards, they will never ever know another joy, another moment of joy again. They'll never know another moment of peace or of rest or of comfort. No one will ever say a kind word to them, or supporting word, or sustaining word, or an understanding word. There will be no relief. There will be no rest. There will be no comfort. They will know nothing but the anger of God against their wickedness. Because that's what sin is. It is wicked. And there is consequences to our wickedness. Either Christ bore your consequences for you, or you'll have to bear it. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked. Innumerable, you can't number them. And perhaps the greatest of it will be for them that it will never ever end. What was that question we ended our reading with? For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? What a question. It is the most important question that can ever be asked. But you know, there are some who will stand in that day. I wonder how many of your eyes ventured to the next chapter in Revelation, which we could have read had time allowed, because it speaks in that chapter of those who do stand. Turn with me, please, to Revelation chapter 7, and we will read of those who stand, because this gives us the answer to the question at the close of Revelation chapter 6. Let us read from Revelation 7, from verse 9. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, and kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood. There we have it. They're standing. Not fleeing. Stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honour and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. Here, friends, we have the answer, the secret to those who stand and who will stand without fleeing, without fear in the day of judgment, and who will then stand to all eternity around the throne of God in heaven. Here's the answer. These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Those who've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, therefore, no other reason but that their robes have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, therefore, are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There's the answer. Now, going back to that question, as I believe there were some of you in that silence as you considered your plea for heaven. Some of you, it was this plea, wasn't it? That your robes are washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb. Or as one of the hymns puts it, one thing I plead, that Christ Jesus in pity paid my debt, or words that affect. And friends, if that is your hope, it's a good hope. Christ Jesus is the hope of his saints. Christ Jesus is the hope of those who will stand, and who will be able to stand in the day of judgment without fear, who will be able to stand in safety. And for whom the Lamb of God, whom the Judge and King of all, in holiness, in justice, and in righteousness, will be able to look upon them and smile. Eternal mercy, will they then know? But he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. What is it to trust? In short, it's to rest in him. It's to have confidence in him. It's to rely upon him. It's to look to him. It is to build upon him with all your spiritual might and strength. It is to need him. Your hope stands or falls on him. And if it's on him, it can never fall. It rests on what Christ has done, not on what you've done. In his life and in his death. These are the righteous. Those who are not in God's eyes wicked anymore. Because they trust in the Lord by grace. By grace you are saved, you read it, through faith. Faith means to trust. To look to hope in, to rest upon, to seek. That's what trust is. If you trust the Lord, you'll be seeking him. You'll be asking him for pardon, for mercy, for peace. You'll be asking him to prepare you for heaven. You'll be asking him to give you that grace to live as one for whom he does reign over as king. He that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Mercy, what is mercy? It is God's love and compassion for you and the fruit of it in your life. It is God not giving you what you deserve. That's mercy. And grace is him giving us what we don't deserve. And he does that in mercy too. Really, it's the love, the kindness, the compassion of God for us. And he says here, mercy shall compass him about. That word compass here, it means to surround completely, to protect, to enclose. You that trusting in the Lord this morning, you ever consider this, that you are surrounded with the mercy of God? Doesn't mean you'll always feel it or enjoy it as you would like to, but even then it's still there. You see, our text says it's not him that feels it. It's him who's trusting. They are given this mercy. And even when you have a trial of faith, even when you have a winter time in your soul, even when it is put to the test as it will be, God's mercy will not be removed from you. God's kindness will not be removed. God's care and compassion will still be there. Mercy shall compass him about in this life. In mercy, the Lord sanctifies a pathway. That means he uses the sorrows of this life and the joys too, to bring us nearer to him, to bring us to consider our ways, to bring us to that realization that we need to be prepared for eternity, to bring us to realize that this earth is not our home. We're just passing through it for a little time, but it's not our home. Heaven is our home if we're among those in the latter part of our text. And the Lord said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where's your treasure this morning? Where's your heart? A treasure is something you value, isn't it? Perhaps we could put it like this, it's something you value the most. Out of all the things you possess, what's your treasure? You know, the wicked, all their treasure is here on earth. And you know they wouldn't be happy in heaven. You know, recently there was someone who was well known in the world who died unexpectedly. And apparently he was asked once, do you want to go to heaven? His answer was shocking. He said, no, I don't. He said, I won't know anyone there. Well, friends, in one sense, he was right. He didn't know anyone there. And that is the mark of the wicked. And when they die, they leave home. They can't stay here forever, can they? But for the believer, he goes home. For the believer, his treasure is in heaven. Because unlike that man, they do know someone there. The Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason they want to get to heaven is because the one they love the most is there. The Lord Jesus. So friends, is there anyone in heaven you love? And I don't just mean those who you've known here on earth who are the Lord's people and who have gone there. Don't mean that. Is there anyone greater than those who you've known on earth in heaven that you know, that you love, that you trust? Some of you, you would be lying if you said no, wouldn't you? There is one who you have learned to trust. You have come to know, you have come to love, because you cannot trust or love someone you do not know. And that one is the Lord in our text. And in mercy, God has brought you through the circumstances of your life to consider your end. Has brought you to give you treasure in heaven. Has brought you to seek and to find and to trust in Christ. To flee to him for refuge. And to build your hope for heaven on him. And that's a solid foundation. As the hymn says, let me quote it exactly. Not the labor of my hands can fulfill the Lord's demand, my Lord's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. You ever considered the truth of those words? Well known, well loved, that hymn, is it not? But have you ever been brought to the reality? Could my zeal no respite know? That means your obedience to the law of God. That means you're seeking to keep the Lord's commandments. And what it is saying is, if your zeal in keeping those commandments was consistent now to the end of your life, that if your obedience from now to the end of your life was utterly blameless, yet even that could not atone for the sins of your past life. Could my tears forever flow? That is saying that if you could weep literally forever, and those in hell will do so, yet even that flood, and it would be a very deep flood, would it not? Could not wash away one of your sins. When by grace you're brought to that place, lost, ruined, you'll come right into the next verse. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. And that is where the Lord in mercy brings those in our text to stop trusting in themselves and to start trusting in him. And you can only do it as the Spirit of God teaches you and enables you to do so. Because it is not natural to us. It is natural to us to trust in ourselves. It's not natural in us to trust in someone else. But in mercy and in compassion, the Lord, by his Spirit, brings his people to do just that. To come with nothing and to cling to Christ. To come with nothing but our sin and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And to have no plea but this, God, be merciful. Show mercy, or in other words, show compassion. Show pity. Spare me, save me, forgive me, take away my sin. And to those of you who are there this morning, there is a way of salvation. And that is in Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, says the apostle, of whom I am chief. And that means he came for the worst of sinners, to save them. And that means, therefore, we have no reason to despair. Because there's grounds for hope for everyone of us this morning. If he came to save the chiefest, that must mean the worst. And there's hope even for the very worst this morning. The chiefest of sinners is among those for whom Christ died. An elect people God chose. And that is a way by which you can stand in that day. Christ died for the ungodly. Christ suffered on that cross, and when he did so, when he shed his precious blood, he was held to account for the sins of those for whom he was saving. Their guilt was transferred from their account. Their wickedness was transferred from their account to Christ's account, and Christ was held accountable. He was held responsible. He paid the price. He endured the pain. He endured the anger of God. He endured the shame. And those for whom he paid that price will not have to endure it themselves. Jesus paid it all. And for them, as the hymn says, for Jesus' blood through earth and skies, mercy, eternal mercy, Christ. And so there's a blessed side as well as a solemn side to our text. Those who are brought to trust in the Lord. And that is one of the fruits of election. Those of you who have tried about that point, whether you are among the elect, well, the fruit of it is this. If you are among the elect, you will be brought to trust in the Lord. You will be brought to seek the Lord. You will be brought to rest your hope for heaven in the Lord. You'll be brought to love the Lord. There we will leave it. But let us consider this morning. What side of our text are we on? Because mercy is only known and is only given to those who trust in the Lord. And God cannot, and God will not, have mercy on any one of us except through his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Buss will administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service. Mr. James Pack will preach on Tuesday evening. There will be a church meeting on Thursday evening at 8:15. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Stephen Hyde will preach and hopes to address the Sunday school in the afternoon. Let us close with hymn number 194. 194. Hail, mighty Jesus, how divine is thy victorious sword. The stoutest rebel must resign at thy commanding word. Hymn 194.
O Lord, hear and answer the prayer of our closing hymn. May not one of us be left out of that favoured band. May we each stand in that day, and then to a never-ending eternity with a full heart and with a full voice, thy praises sound throughout Emmanuel's land. Then, Lord, will we fully know the meaning of Emmanuel, God with us forevermore. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the communion of the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, be with us now and forever. Amen.